Hello, folks. GM Nathan checking in here at the top of the episode to let you all know we have some particular content warnings for this week's episode beyond the usual amounts of adult language and fantasy violence. That information is listed in this week's show notes. We encourage you to check there so that you have the knowledge you need to make healthy decisions about how and if you should consume this episode. Thanks, and hope you enjoy the show. Hi, everyone!
Hi!
Hi.
Hello. Hello! Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am GM Nathan, so excited to welcome you all back around our table because the ghost who walks under the earth approaches prepare.
Oh, no.
That sounds familiar. That might have been a message, some kind of warning, perhaps from last episode.
It doesn't really seem familiar, actually. Maybe if I just believe it didn't happen, it won't.
Well, but then we'd have no warning. Like, I think
then we just get an experience. We've entered in,
we've entered into a time paradox of some sort.
Regardless, the thing is there. So whether we're warned or not, I don't know.
I'll take a time paradox. That's fine.
Yeah, right. And I'll take a surprise round. But anyway, let us ensure that all of our very powerful players get the chance to introduce themselves, starting to the player on my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human astric cleric of the Arcana Domain. And, you know, out seeing the world, new experiences.
Yep.
This is why Val joined a guild.
Exactly what is about to happen. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just like a gap year. 100%.
Yep.
One for one.
Yep. One-to-one translation. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is really excited to meet some more members of Kaskrin's extended family while we're out here in the mountains. I think that's just, I mean, Kaskrin never really talks about himself very much, especially, you know, not his brothers or sisters or cousins or anything. So.
That's true. This is my Uncle Vinny, and he points to the mountain.
Kaskrin hatched from a large stone one day.
I came from a geode.
Right.
What if Kas is just an extremely short giant?
Could be.
And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, the extremely short giant.
end of description. Yep,
that's me. And I am finally within my element, which is rocks. Great.
Favorite terrain, yeah. Rocks.
Favorite terrain, boulders.
Favorite enemy, rocks.
I got a thing going, all right? And to my left.
Hello, everyone. My name is Steve, and I'm playing Selv Asterlin, the Dragonborn Monk. And this might be an opportunity for another Wild Rixia little episode, depending on what this creature is that is underneath and us and approaching.
I thought you were going to talk about a Wild Rixia about boulders.
Oh, here's hoping.
Well, you know, it's...
Steve, we have not covered the geology of Rixia yet.
This is true. And that does kind of fall into my Steve's wheelhouse.
Tell me about rocks.
Yeah, so. Excuse me, Nathan, that cannot possibly occur here based on the geologic formation.
I don't remember if we've talked about it on mic before, but I know I have told Steve several times where it's like, I don't know if any of this geology is right, and I don't know if I want you to tell me or not. Maybe I do, and I can fix it, but once the map is public, you can't say anything. Please, please, I beg you.
Rivers don't work like that, Nathan.
Magic. Yeah, wizard did it.
Why is this one in a little curly cue?
It has nothing to do with me just getting bored while drawing this map and just making a little, nope.
I
nope,
absolutely did
magic.
Not fall asleep and accidentally make a mark.
Yep, nope. Wizards, they did it. Yep.
And, well, I guess we'll see what happens next then. Back to you, Nathan.
Next time.
Well, what happens next is that the ghost who walks under the earth approaches. Prepare. Yes.
You keep saying that.
Right.
I do, and here's why, David. I'm so glad that you didn't ask. You guys had a very lovely evening around a campfire and were able to kind of talk through some of the stuff that you had learned thus far after the Raven Mounts just kind of dropped you off right outside your next destination, which was some sort of mountain range that was also a graveyard for giants, an ancient graveyard for giants, apparently. But then, as you're approaching the mountain that you knew to kind of be the central place of this graveyard, something moved, and then it threw something at you. On that boulder, written in giant, was a message. And that message, of course, was the ghost who walks under the earth approaches. Prepare. Now, Val understood that and was able to warn everyone just in time for a horrible ethereal tentacle to slither up behind Checkers. And that is where I would like you all to roll for initiative, please.
Ugh. Oh boy.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh no.
Arms lifted triumphant.
Yes.
Jonathan, what did you roll on your die?
I rolled a natural 20 on my initiative for a 23.
Ooh.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to this.
And you're going third.
I mean, it snuck up right behind me, so I'm pretty okay with going first, if that's all right with you.
I think that seems reasonable for your own continued living.
Selv with a 16.
Kaskrin with an 11.
What did you get, Val?
I didn't roll a 1.
Good. Nice. What did you get?
I got a 3.
I
was reading the boulder. I had to do the translation.
Right, you know? Yes. You were a little distracted, making sure everyone was aware of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you guys are right on kind of the... What's the word? Where you're at the... Right at the... Near the bottom of the mountain. And it
at
is...
The base.
The base, yes. And it is hilly and already starting to get rocky, and there are already several big craggy bits that you kind of are having to walk around and maneuver around. Gravel is crunching underfoot, but there is still a lot of grass and even the occasional tree around. The sun is bright overhead, which makes spotting the thing that is sneaking up on all of you a little bit harder to see. Not mechanically, just for fun. Now, at the top of the order, Checkers. Val has warned you. Oh my gosh. And you see, I think that there's a tentacle coming up behind all the other party members. Luckily, I'm sure there's none behind me, Checkers right. The Grung Druid.
Uh-huh.
But you actually see there's not just one tentacle coming out spectrally from the ground and starting to kind of wrap around you, but you see them starting to wrap around all four of you.
So... Like you said, there are sort of rocky bits around us. There's the occasional tree. We're kind of walking along this, gravelly path up towards the mountain. And as Checkers is seeing everyone start to be accosted by these spectral tentacles underneath the ground, I have a dumb idea.
I am...
Immediately.
I am absolutely here for it. Bring it on.
Okay, so Checkers is going to yell out when he starts seeing these things come out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, it's breakfast time.
Wait, is that top?
I don't remember.
Oh my god, there was something about Cass being a pancake, so he flattened. Is that different? Is it a pancake? This is Sophie panicking. I feel like Val would remember.
I thought it was some kind of grapple with mango.
DM Nathan is already ready to be like, all right, I guess on to the next encounter. Jonathan, what happens as you scream this out?
So this is, everyone needs to get as flat as a pancake.
Ah, yes, yes, yeah. I so be remembered.
Because frogs are going to be grappling people and trying to lift you out of the situation that you're in, up to trees, up to rocks, other things.
Oh, okay, I understand now.
So Checkers is going to jump up to a nearby tree and kind of swing around one of the branches and land on top of one. He, as an action, is going to lash a thorn whip, a jagged fishing hook, towards Kaskrin to try and pull him up towards where he's at.
Okay. So you jump, go to jump up onto this tree.
Yeah.
And this tentacle that was kind of lying in wait behind you. And is it just you, or is it you and Mango jumping up in the tree?
So it's just me.
Okay. It is going to take an attack of opportunity against you.
All right.
Ooh, rolled very bad, though.
Okay.
16 to hit.
16 hits.
So here's what's going to happen. First, you're going to take... Ow! 12 points of necrotic damage.
Ow! Oh, gee.
Now I would like you to roll me a constitution saving throw, please.
The twin thing really came out in that one.
Perfect chorus.
Yeah.
15.
That is a success.
Okay.
And, unfortunately, you are grappled.
Ah! Oh, no.
But, so what happens is that as you are kind of leaping out of the saddle and kind of marshaling everybody, this thing just, like a whip crack, just goes around your ankle and like is apparently just corporeal enough to grab you and just slam you down into the ground. And you can tell, like, not only is it grabbing you and obviously hitting you with this necrotic energy, but something is trying to be drawn from you as it attacks you. But that is the extent of it. You are grappled.
Yeah.
But you still have your action, your bonus action, all that stuff.
So Checkers is like seeing everyone start to be attacked. He jumps out of Mango's saddle and just yells out, "It's Brick's!" Ah! Just face plants against the ground as this thing grabs him and shoves him back towards the earth. He is still going to try and do the rest of the thing, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kaskrin, good luck.
Yes.
You'll be fine. Mango, go get Selv! Mango, now free to move about, hopefully, is going to run over to Selv and try to grab onto him with his tongue and jump into a nearby tree.
I'll say that he can, like, start getting up to a tree, but, like, get right there, because it's not, like, a forested area.
Uh-huh.
But no problem, get Selv and, like, I'll even say starts, like, kind of climbing up and hopping up this tree and is, like, a few feet up off the ground already.
Yeah, if I can at least just get Selv a few feet off the ground, that's perfect.
Absolutely.
As an action, I'm going to summon Beast.
Cool.
To summon Billiam, the butterfly frog.
Yay.
Billiam!
Billiam swoops out of nowhere and goes over to Valeska and just lets, like, a fruit roll-up just, like, rolls out his long, muscular tongue. And just,
Sophie was really
back.
Excited and was
back.
Like, yay, it's Billiam. No, it's Billiam.
And Billiam just kind of looks expectantly at you, just waiting for you to grab onto it.
I grab onto gross tongue, like Mary Poppins.
Yeah,
style,
and then he like airlifts you.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
And he does have the strength and all that stuff. Cool. That was mostly for the listener because I remembered us doing this before and talking about it. But
Billiam is strong enough, thankfully, but he just like airlifts you a little bit off the ground so that the tentacles can't get to you.
Is it forced movement or?
I think you're still going to get an attack of opportunity.
Would Selv get an attack of opportunity?
Ooh, also true. Man, that's awesome. They all get attacks of opportunities.
Breakfast time is really working out for Nathan.
So first, that is an 18 on the die to hit Val.
That hits.
And so you take 7 points of necrotic damage. Roll me a constitution saving throw, please.
That is a 7.
You take an additional 2 points of necrotic damage, and your maximum hit point total is reduced by 2. And you are grappled. Here's what happens. This thing reaches out, grabs Val as, like, she is starting to be airlifted out. And it's still, like, you might even still be able to still, like, lift her out, no problem. But it is now playing tug of war with Val and Billiam. Uh-huh. Horrible, horrible thought. But now you, Checkers, and you, Val especially, can see a bit of red start to seep in to this tentacle, almost in, like, a leaf or vein-like pattern, as this thing is sucking the blood out of Val because she failed her constitution saving throw.
Gross.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Did I throw up a little bit in my mouth? Yes.
It's an IV monster.
Selv.
Yes.
Does a 13 hit?
It does not.
Great. You are good then.
So Val is not in the air.
Val is, I'll say, is like 5 feet up off the air because, again, boy, I really love just the Billiam tug of war.
Yes.
Great.
I think you mean tongue of war.
Damn it. Anything else you'd like to do?
That's my whole turn as Checkers is just like stuck on the ground.
Great news. It's the tentacles' turn. There are 3 tentacles on the 3 of you, and they are each going to make an attack. We're going to go Kaskrin first. Miss. Val, you are already grappled, so it automatically does damage to you. You do. You take 3 points of damage.
Okay.
And then are you grappled as well?
I am, yes.
Okay. You take 4 more points of necrotic damage. But that is the end of their turn. The other one is just kind of like feeling around for where Selv was. It's like, Self, you are partway up a tree with a large frog, see horrible tendrils all around
yeah.
you.
Yeah, well, I'm safe.
Yeah,
so
far.
I think we're good. I'll just wait. No. How far am I from specifically the tentacles that have wrapped around Val and Checkers?
You guys are probably all well within 10, 15 feet of each other, I think is no problem to say.
Perfect. Then I am going to, with the Fist of Unbroken Air, my melee range is 15 feet.
Yep, perfect.
I am going to try to hit the one that is on Val a couple times.
Perfect.
So, first attack. Does a 21 hit?
Absolutely.
Tentacle?
And okay. For those around the table and listening at home, each of the tentacles is its own has its own HP and AC.
Hmm.
In addition to nothing else, probably.
Personalities.
Yeah. Right. There's probably nothing else that's happening.
There's the sporty one. One of them goes by baby.
Yeah.
There's the goth tentacle.
Yeah.
No, Steve, that wasn't one of them.
No, it wasn't. Sorry, my bad.
Not in my face.
No,
I don't know what I was thinking.
They can go with the scary one.
Yeah, the scary. So that tentacle takes 5 points of damage.
Excellent.
And then I am going to spend a key point, and I am going to spend one key point to force the target to make a strength saving throw or be pushed backward 10 feet and be knocked prone.
Ooh, awesome. What's the DC?
14.
It rolled a 13 on the die and just passes.
All right. In that case, the second attack will also go to the one that is wrapped around Val. Does a 14 hit?
It misses.
Okay.
Also just barely.
Wow.
All right. I am going to spend another key point to do two more attacks. One more on the one that has Val.
Yep.
It's only a 9 to hit.
Oh, no.
And then the other one was going to go for the one that had Checkers.
Okay.
And try to hit that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm fine with both being in range. Okay.
That one is a 16 to hit.
That hits.
Nice.
Okay,
nice.
So that's 5 points of damage. And spending a third key point to make it make the...
strength save?
The strength save, DC 14.
It's a 2 on the die. That
nice.
Fails.
Okay, so that tentacle is pushed 10 feet away, which I believe frees Checkers.
Yep.
And if it's applicable, knocks the tentacle prone.
I don't think it is, but it is blown away and flops
and
over very dramatically.
On the ground.
Like
okay.
A dog looking for belly rubs, but
gotcha.
Having been air punched.
And then I will use my movement to grab onto the tree that Mango has deposited
Absolutely.
Me in. So that possibly Mango can go get somebody else.
Perfect.
Thanks, Elf.
All right, anything
Welcome.
Else?
That is it.
All of you who are still kind of next to some of the tentacles can see the angle shift a little bit, as if something they're connected to is moving. From right in front of Checkers and Kaskaran, a domed head emerges that is 15 feet across. Whatever this creature is, it seems to be more mouth than anything else. Has small, beady eyes and is just covered with strange lumps all over the place. You can't quite make out the details. You see its huge maw opens up and looks at you with these kind of like small, beady eyes. And from inside of its mouth come two more tendrils that shoot out at each of you. How do I make an attack against you? First, against Kaskaran. 21 to hit.
That will hit.
You take 11 points of necrotic damage. Constitution
Ooh,
save.
Jeez, okay. That is an 11.
That is a fail.
Ah.
You take 2 more points of necrotic damage that comes off your maximum HP.
Jeez.
Checkers.
Yep.
Also a 21 to hit.
That hits.
That is 7 points of necrotic damage. Constitution save.
10.
Also a fail.
And let me do a concentration check.
Cool.
I'll succeed.
Great. You take an additional 1 point of damage. I'm fine with just any concentration checks. Don't count that as like 2 separate instances of damage. That's a pain in the ass and shitty. You're also both now grappled. As a bonus action, I would like Kaskrin, could you please make me a strength saving throw?
Indeed, I can. That is going to be a 20.
This creature, you can feel its tendril. Again, it's this strange sensation of it is drawing. You can see it's drawing blood out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is trying to pull you closer towards it and towards its gaping, hungry maw. But you're able to dig in deep and just hold your ground and not move an inch against this hungry phantasm. That's the end of its turn. Kaskrin, what would you like to do now? You're grappled. There's this tentacle on you. What do you want to do?
Kaskrin sees this giant domed-shaped creature appear from the ground in front of us and is just yelling at it like, hey, get out of here.
Get off of my lawn.
As he is trying to be pulled into this hungry maw, he's going to reach his hand towards the ground and cast stone forming, pulling a kite shield-like shape from the earth and molding it to his arm. He now has a shield, giving him an additional +2 to armor.
Oh, it's so fucking cool. You're like, this thing is pulling at you and you're like digging in. You just like reach down as you're leaning against it and like arm yourself. Awesome.
And with that same shield, he is going to try and dig the point into the tendril that is trying to grapple him. He is going to cast the spell Stone Fist and try to bash this thing away from him.
Awesome.
That is a 20 to hit.
That hits, and this is against the kind of creature proper.
Yes. That is only going to do 7 points of damage.
Okay. So you are just like trying to hack, like slam away with your shield against this tentacle that is kind of against you, as another tentacle is right behind you, like also menacing you on either side. Now, at the end of the order, Valeska Carter, what would you like to do?
You know, I had a couple. It's kind of nice being back here. I get to, you know, see the lay of the land. Is anybody about to die yet? Checkers, how are you?
I'm okay for right now.
you can last like one more round?
Yeah.
Okay.
Valeska is cast with like digging into the ground.
And you are no longer grappled, is that correct? Because Selv bopped.
No, I got Checkers out, but Checkers got re.
Selv bopped mine.
Yeah, yes. Got it.
Both the one that was on Checkers and the one that was on Val are both hurt, but I was only able to move the tentacle from Checkers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do?
Well, I'm going to use that important fact of this tentacle being damaged to cast Toll the Dead.
That seems pretty good.
Have a tentacle make me a wisdom save DC 15?
You know, wouldn't you believe it? A tentacle does not have that many neurons. It's kind of like an octopus, you know, where it's like technically there's brain in it, but like not like a lot of brain. That is a 6 on the dice. Woo! That is a failure.
And because I am 5th level and this has already taken damage, it's not a D8, it's a D12. And because I'm 5th level, I get to roll 2.
Yes, you do.
Nice.
Terrible.
There's a 12 on the die and there's a 2, so 14.
Sorry, 14 total damage?
Yes, I just got excited because I rolled a 12 on one of them.
Oh,
that's still a lot.
It's still up.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Whatever,
I don't even care.
Yeah.
I'm going to cast
more spells.
Spiritual Weapon at 2nd level.
Good.
As my bonus action.
I want it to be alive.
Yeah.
I'm not done with it.
Mm-mm. 11 hit.
That is a miss, unfortunately.
But there is a letter opener just slicing at the tentacle, trying to just cut it off.
Excellent. That is the end of the order. There is a tentacle on Val that is just kind of like barely hanging on by a spectral thread, which is really gross when I say it and talk about it. There is a Selv up a tree. There's a mango slightly below on a tree. And there's a tentacle also kind of feebly. Where'd he go? Selv successfully knocked one tendril off of Checkers, but unfortunately a larger, grosser attached to a mouth tendril is still wrapping you up. And Kaskrin, you are also similarly wrapped and also menaced by a tentacle while just wildly swinging a rock shield, trying to get this the hell off of you.
Forgot about the mouth tendril that I didn't know anything about.
Top of the order, Checkers. You're only entangled by one tentacle, but it is the mouth tentacle, which might be worse. What would you like to do?
So Checkers is being wrapped and dragged towards this maw that has appeared from this strange lumpy creature in the ground. And as he is struggling to try and keep his footing, he sees to his left Caskrin bashing this thing with a shield made out of stone.
Yep.
And he sees to his right Billiam trying to hug Valeska out of range of this tendril that is barely hanging on. He looks and he's going to throw a jagged fishing hook towards the tendril that is attacking Valeska.
Awesome.
18 to hit.
That is a hit. Describe your kill. It had 1 HP.
So this fishing hook just like latches on to that singular spectral thread that was hanging on. Ooh. And just slices it.
Plucks it.
Yeah, yep. Plucks it and then returns back to Checkers. And Billiam flies off with Valeska. just shoots off. Yeah.
Just all this tension just released suddenly.
And Billiam is going to deposit Valeska in a nearby tree. And just kind of set you down and fly back over to Checkers to try and bash into the tendril that is attacking him. He is going to wrap his tongue around the tendril itself.
And this is the tendril of the the maw of the monster.
Yep. 12 to hit.
That is a miss.
All right. Billiam flies off to try again later. With my bonus action, I'm going to command Mango to leap into the fray and try to... I think both Billiam and Mango are going to try to get Checkers out of the grasp of this creature.
I adore it.
I like to imagine that they're like, nobody gets to lick Checkers.
Yeah, right.
He's ours.
We're the ones with the weird tongues around here.
Yeah, so just like a flurry of tongues go towards this tendril. As Mango pounces on this thing and just tries to cut it with his tongue.
So good.
25 to hit.
That is a hit.
7 points of damage.
Does Mango do magic damage?
Mango does not do magical damage.
It does a little less damage than you would hope it would to the main creature, unfortunately.
And Checkers is just pulling at this thing. Good job, boy. Keep going. Keep going.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Aegenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr." Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength and diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger. Dark Dice is a critically acclaimed actual play podcast brought to you by Fool & Scholar Productions. With over 20 awards in sound design, Dark Dice brings its horror-themed campaigns to life with snappy combats, terrifying monsters, and tons of original music. Each episode is only 45 minutes long and features an all-star cast of seasoned role players and first-time players alike, including folks you might recognize, like Jeff Goldblum, Lily Pichu, and Jasper William Cartwright. Start with Season 1 and follow the adventurers on their quest to investigate a doppelganger, or jump into Season 2 and listen to a new story about a terrible, corrupting sound that infects all who hear it. Dark Dice is available for free however you listen to podcasts or at darkdice.com. So ask yourself, do you seek him?
Now, it is the turn of the tentacles. They have no movement on their own. Actually, they have limited movement. One is going to move back towards Checkers, and both Caskrin and Checkers are going to be attacked by the kind of ground tentacles near them. First, we'll do Caskrin. If you guys could pre-roll your con saves. Miss against Caskrin.
Nice.
a 20 to hit against Checkers.
This is not Checkers' day.
No, but you only take 4 points of necrotic damage. What was your constitution save?
I have a 17 on my constitution save.
You save, no problem. So again, it is trying to, like, now this tentacle, you can tell, is trying to do the same thing that these others are, but aren't quite able to kind of push through your life force to get at that sweet, sweet, juicy frog
that,
juice.
That frog juice, yes.
Yeah. Now it is Selv. You are up in a tree. I'm even going to say that now Val is on a different part of the tree, but in the same tree next to you.
Am I still within 15 feet of the maw?
No, it's probably a little far away, but you are still 15 feet away from the one that was originally attacking you. Okay. That now is kind of searching and might be able to try and maybe extend or come at you or attack someone else who's still on the ground.
Or what about the ones that are around Checkers or Cass?
You're definitely too far for Cass, and I think you're still even 15 feet away, a little far away from the one on Checkers.
Okay. Is there anybody, any of our party, within then 5 feet of the maw? Okay.
No, it is actually 15 feet of reach that it is extending out and trying to grab them.
So I will use yet another key point, and I'm going to use Fangs of the Frost Wolf.
Sick.
So Selv will kind of gesture down and breathe some frost into his hand until it looks like a kind of a curved knife, and then he's going to throw it at this creature.
Mm-hmm.
24 to hit.
Yar.
10 points total of damage. That is 3 points of piercing and 7 points of cold.
The cold damage does do a little bit less than you'd hope.
Dang it. I will also then move somewhere on the tree to get a little bit of the trunk of the tree kind of in between me and wherever this tentacle is flailing about.
Okay. Now it is the monster's turn. And so you can still see its hungry eyes looming particularly at a certain dwarven warlock and druid. First, unfortunately, because you guys, I believe, are both still grappled.
Yes.
We'll take automatic piercing damage at the start of your turn. Kashgren, ow, you take 10 points of piercing damage.
What does that look like as it hits?
Imagine these tendrils are almost like pricking you as it is trying to draw this like blood and stuff out of you. Okay. And almost has like these like hypodermic needle kind of like things as it is trying to burrow into whatever flesh or rock
that it can find.
Dislike.
I'm imagining like a tongue sandpaper.
Exactly.
Like,
it's like a cat's tongue.
Yes, that's what I was saying, but I forgot to say cat.
And then 8 points of damage to Checkers.
Concentration check.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Okay, awesome. I think in lieu of doing attack since it has people grappled, it is going to once again try and pull Kashgren into its maw. Could you please make me a strength saving throw?
I'm going to use inspiration on this strength saving throw.
Okay.
That is a 9.
The tendril that is around you draws you in, and you can see that this creature, its huge mouth opens, and you can see all of these strange, almost humanoid teeth close like gravestones around you, and you are enveloped by this creature.
Cass, no!
Oh, no.
And that is its turn. But Kashgren is now, you all can see, is inside of this creature, and distressingly, you can see Kashgren inside of it. Like, because it is ethereal and transparent, you can see Kashgren floating in the air, kind of like crumpled up and like struggling as he's still bound and still clearly being lightly crushed inside of this creature. Kashgren, it's your turn.
This is going to be a weird question.
Yep.
How does this creature feel? Like, is it spectral? Is it real?
Now that you are inside it, I appreciate you asking, because it is distressing.
I am distressed.
It is like a great weight of pressure is being kind of put on you. Like, You can't feel sides or anything like that, but it just feels like the atmosphere is different in here and that you are just now in a pressure cooker, basically, and being constricted and crushed slowly.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes.
Or hurt your psyche?
So the thing that I would like to know is if I were to like stab it with something, yep. would it pass through or would it like be blocked by the armor or something like physical?
In terms of game mechanics, is still a creature, and that any creature, if you're inside of, can stab the shit out of it.
Okay, cool. Because I have an extraordinarily dumb idea.
Best kind. Bring it on.
I'm going to use a spell that I have not cast before called Stone Pillar. And Kaskarin is going to just struggle and rotate himself down towards where he is pointing the kite shield.
I don't
at
know
the
what
ground.
This. I don't know what this does, but I'm just like I
do.
This could be awesome.
Okay.
And in sort of like an arcane, powerful charge, it's almost like there's like a death charge that explodes from him.
Yep.
And from the ground underneath this creature, a 5-foot square stone pillar rockets up.
Yep.
From the ground, and I'm gonna try to have it pull, like force Kaskarin out of this spectral creature so that he, when the pillar is done, is 30 feet above the ground and outside.
Okay.
Is this where we have to take a 15-minute break?
Nope. Okay. What needs to happen?
According to the text, if the pillar is created under a creature, the creature must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or be lifted by the pillar, but I can choose to fail that.
Yep.
It does not rise fast enough to cause damage. And if it pinches something like a roof, the creature that is lifted by it is restrained. But that does not apply here.
Okay.
So the only thing that happens is that Kaskarin is perhaps lifted out of the creature.
The way I interpret it is that you might be pinned against the creature's mouth, top of its mouth.
I'm just thinking both of you move up.
That's why I ask, because like, if it's a spectral creature, then maybe I'm like floating in a weird spectral goop and I just get pushed out. Or the whole creature moves.
Okay, so I'm going to have the creature also make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay.
You can absolutely fail it, no problem. You will be moving with this column one way or the other.
Hell yeah.
Probably. Well, we'll see what happens. What is your DC?
14.
That's a fail. So you spin around. You turn your shield towards the ground. You all can see this happening as this like strange square of rock starts pushing both Kaskarin and this creature up and away. The creature is able to kind of spin off and kind of let go of Kaskarin, but Kaskarin is now 30 feet up into the air and is, we'll say, covered in ectoplasm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is just like flying on the top of this pillar using his shield to like have braced himself against the impact. And it's just like breathing heavily, covered in goop.
Excellent. And
he slimed me.
Anything else you'd like to do on your turn?
As a bonus action, I'm going to harden the rock around my arms and legs, giving me additional protection, and that is my turn.
Valesco shall move her spiritual weapon to the tentacle next to Checkers. Because our boy Checkers is better mobile.
Accurate.
Natural 20!
Ooh, nice. Okay.
17 points of damage. Wow, spiritual weapon on the tentacle.
It does as much damage as you would hope.
Holding Checkers. Is it still holding Checkers? Because it did take damage from Selv before.
I forgot that this was a tentacle and not the creature.
Yes, sorry.
The tentacle is not actually holding me.
The tendril.
The creature.
I want the thing grappling the Grung Druid to go away. I would like to free the Grung Druid Checkers and his trusty frog pails who are also trying to free Checkers.
Okay, so I think you are attacking the creature, trying to get that to release.
I'm specifically, attacking
whatever is holding on to
the
Checkers.
The cat tongue tendril.
Yes, perfect.
So we have the mouth with two tendrils, and then we have several tentacles.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then
that's
we have
a good way
the dome
it.
The domed creature
head.
Yes.
Essentially.
Checkers is still grappled?
Yes. He is grappled by the monster itself, and those are weightier.
Yeah. They're tougher to get out of.
Okay. Okay. How does the tentacle next to Checkers look?
It's been hit.
Okay. You have many frog friends who yes. I'm going to trust to try to take care of the tentacle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep focusing on the tentacle because cool. I don't want you to get swallowed.
That's yep. appreciated. Yep. Thank you.
Okay, so then I will cast Guiding Bolt at the monster.
Cool.
And because I do really want this to hit, I'm going to use my inspiration.
Okay.
Natural 20!
Wow. Wow.
What? Two natural 20s in one
Thank
turn?
You, Stemma. Okay, what, would you like to know that I cast Guiding Bolt at third level?
Ooh.
Doing it after the natural 20? All right, Sophie.
I pulled it up on my D&D Beyond.
We'll let the fans on the boards hear it out.
So, that is... Oh, my God.
Go on.
So it's normally 66.
Oh.
God, there's so many sixes. Yeah,
that's
why?
That's a good number.
46 points of radiant damage. It's radiant, right? It's radiant. It's glowing energy.
It's not my spell. I don't know what it...
Does it take extra damage from radiant?
Unfortunately, it takes exactly as much damage as you... Well, maybe not as you'd hope, but as you might just kind of assume as natural yeah. amounts. Mm-hmm. Anything else as you're up in a tree?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Val's appreciating her range in this moment.
Fair enough.
Must be nice.
You have the longest range of anyone in the party, David.
You just don't use it.
You just don't
true.
Use it.
That's true. I use it occasionally as I pull out my telescope.
End of round two. Selv and Val are in a tree. Not K-I-S-S-I-N-G, they are F-I-G-H-T-I-N-G. As one tentacle from under the ground kind of paws just uselessly up at them, there is a Checkers just surrounded by frogs of both in the air and on the ground as one tentacle coming from the ground kind of pulls him one way and a tendril from inside of the mouth of a creature is trying to pull him another way. And, well, Kaskrin's just 30 feet up in the air. On a pillar.
It's a good time.
And just is laying down, just like, I'm imagining your like head is just like poking out a little bit and you're just staring 30 feet straight down onto the ground. That is the top of the order. Checkers, you are surrounded by terrible things, but also you are surrounded by frogs and friends, but mostly frog friends. Yeah. What would you like to do?
You could have just stopped at terrible things. So Checkers has... There's a lot of things around him, and he's being pulled steadily into the mouth of this creature.
Yep.
And Checkers right now is basically the only one still on the ground in range of the tentacles.
Unfortunately, yes.
Does this lumpy spectral creature look hurt at all?
Oh, yes. You guys have wailed on it. It is. I mean, that you guys had already started chipping away, but Val's last turn with two natural 20s.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry. Did a lot of damage, and it's very clearly not feeling great.
It's glowing now, too.
And it is glowing, okay. So you would have advantage on any attack rolls against it.
Seeing how hard this thing is to deal with, I'm going to send my frogs towards the creature as I try to struggle against this tendril itself. Billiam, go get it! Billiam's going to fly into the creature and lash at it with its tongue.
Okay.
Natural 20.
Wow. I have a question.
Yeah.
Is Billiam flying towards the creature? Or as opposed to trying to attack, continue to attack at the tendril that is like on you? Because I will say, he can absorb an attack of opportunity.
Billiam has flyby, so he doesn't provoke attacks.
Perfect. Okay. Natural 20. So, all right. Fucking cool. Great. I love it. I'm so happy. I'm happy for my players and having a nice time. What happens with your natural 20?
So Billiam crashes into this thing as it just seems to be kind of recorporealizing after the results of the stone pillar. And Billiam's going to strike for 18 points of damage.
Ow!
Oh, based on that face you made, I thought it was going to be like 3.
Right.
I thought it was a 1. It was a 7.
Much better.
Yeah. Mango's going to roll over onto this tendril that's attacking Checkers and just try to like flatten it to the ground.
Awesome.
16 to hit.
That hits.
11 points of frog damage.
Ow.
At this point, Checkers is really just trying to kill it before it kills him.
Yeah,
it
seems reasonable.
So as this tendril is lashing towards him, he's going to lash a fishing hook towards it. And we're just going to like have a tug of war. As a jagged thorn whip goes flying towards it. 16 to hit.
Also hits.
5 points of damage.
Okay. Checkers, you lash out and your kind of your magical hook just kind of rips a little bit into its form, and you can see its face almost like split open a little bit from the like scratch that you gave it before it kind of recorporealizes. But you can see it kind of goes a little bit unsteady and wobbles a little bit, and then it lets out this big roar of pain and anguish and fury. Its roar sounds like it's made of multiple voices, like a chorus of screams, of just, rah! And in the sunlight, it disappears. And the tendrils that were still around you and squeezing and clawing at your blood and life force release and disappear. The one flailing up at the tree itself, trying desperately to get its next meal, also disappears. The one kind of still snaking up around the stone pillar, trying to get to Kaskrin as he kind of looms and watches over everyone, fades away like mist in the sun. And the world is silent once more. The sounds of nature slowly fade back. And out of the corner of your eye, you see the boulder once again saying, "The ghost who walks under the earth approaches. Prepare."
You hear from 30 feet atop a stone pillar, "What the hell is that?"
Can Val do a check to figure out what the hell that was?
Absolutely. What would you like to roll?
Religion, I think. 15?
For 15, you would know the name of this creature. You would know that it is a blood white, which is, in fact, a ghostly creature that haunts areas of death. Sometimes graveyards, sometimes scenes of great battles. But no one really knows why it forms or how it forms, at least as far as you know in your research. But it does exactly what you guys witnessed. It tries to prey upon passersby and suck the life force and blood out of them to feed.
Is it gone? I'm not coming down until it's gone.
It's gone for now.
Yeah, you would definitely know. Also with your 15, it is gone for now.
Ow, my body. Ow. Ow.
I will drop down from the tree. And then also keeping an eye out in case something else comes up from the ground or other boulders are on their way in. I'll move towards, I guess, who looks worse, Cass or Checkers?
Jonathan pointed to his own self.
I'm pretty badly hurt. Like, you wouldn't know it just by looking at Checkers, but he's got a lot of, like, bruises on the insides.
I will say.
Some internal bleeding going on.
Yeah.
Cass probably looks worse because he is covered in ectoplasm.
That's
true.
Spiritually,
but he's also
worse.
30 feet in the air.
Yeah. Yep. And it's just kind of dripping down off the pillar.
Oh, no.
All right, I will help Val down and then just basically say,
"If you have anything to help Checkers, he looks worse off than he should."
And then I will move over to the pillar that has Cass 30 feet in the air and just kind of yell up,
"Are you able to get down from there?"
"It lasts for 10 minutes.
And then collapses or disappears.
I don't know. I've never cast this before. But while I'm up here, you guys see just like the glint of something from atop the stone pillar as Kaskrin has pulled out his telescope and is looking over in the direction of the thing that hurled the boulder at us.
Got it. What is everyone else doing?
Would we have enough time for a short rest before a blood white would come back?
You would know that it would be a while. The worry of being out here, and again, this is part of your kind of 15, the worry of being out here is more exposure to being out of doors in Rixia as opposed to being at risk of another attack by the creature that attacked you, the blood white. So do you rest out in the open? Do you try to proceed into the mountain? What do you do?
I would like to take a quick look at where the head of that creature kind of emerged from the ground.
Yeah.
Is there any indication that something came out of the ground? Or is there any, like, is there a circle of dead vegetation where it did come up?
So
anything like that?
Really distressingly, the only signs that there was a battle here are the signs that you guys made. So you can see where Kaskrin's heels dug in and resisted for as long as he could against the pull of this creature. You can see where Checkers was slammed down into the ground as he tried to escape. But you see otherwise no sign of this creature, that they were ever there, other than the bruises on your bodies.
All right, so I'll kind of look back up at Cass and say,
I think we should find a place that's not as exposed.
Kaskrin, give me a perception check with advantage.
Ooh, that is a 22.
Ooh. So you have no problem finding the spot that this kind of creature emerged. You weren't the one who saw it kind of emerge. That was Selv and Checkers. But you saw enough of kind of the boulder trajectory to be able to kind of figure out, okay, it came from kind of around there. And you can see this is still several hundred feet away. So it is even kind of not super clear with your telescope. But you can still see much more clearly now, especially up above the ground. You can see there is a long-limbed, gray-skinned giant creature standing kind of what appears to be on an outcropping by a cave entrance, hundreds of feet up on the mountain, looking down. And you can see, you can't make out too many details, but you can see very clearly that it is kind of like looking down at you guys and kind of like craning its neck to just see what exactly is happening.
Okay. Kaskrin is going to wave at it from over here.
Yeah.
And while he's up here too, he's going to look around and see if there's any similar caves closer to us that we could take shelter in.
The creature waves back when it sees.
Nice.
And again, it is very far away and it is very surprising. Like you can make out enough that like you see the detail more than well enough, but that this creature can see you back and kind of wave is notable. You can see its huge arm and hand just waves very slowly back and forth. And you can actually see after a moment, it gestures to come towards the mountain and points downward. You, as you said, you kind of look using your telescope and have no problem kind of finding a cave near the foot of the mountain, just a few hundred feet away from where you guys are, in the direction that whatever this creature was pointing at.
Kaskrin at this point is tired of being 30 feet up, and he's going to try to scoot off the corner of the stone pillar and gently climb down.
I think Billiam, like, seeing how much trouble you're having just kind of getting off the lip of the stone pillar, would just, like, run over to you and just, like, wrap himself around you to support you as you're climbing down.
Yeah, he's, like, he's covered in goo, so, like, he's really struggling, but Billiam helps a lot. And as Kaskrin gets down, he's going to point in the direction of the cave that the giant pointed out and say, maybe 20 minutes that way, there's a cave that I think enters into some sort of cave system in the mountain. Regardless, it should give us enough shelter to rest.
All right, then.
And Checkers is going to gesture over for Billiam to come over, and Checkers is just going to like start floating, assisted by Billiam, just with his tongue wrapped around his waist. Just like, all right, I'm ready. Let's go.
So as you guys approach, and I'll just say that you guys can all see, especially once Kaskrin kind of points out where the creature is, as soon as you guys start kind of moving towards the mountain and the creature can kind of see that you're heading in the direction that they pointed you in, they disappear into the mountain. You guys eventually find a semi-hidden little cave where, had you been walking by, you might not have seen it, but because it was pointed out to you, you're like, ah, here it is, clearly. And it is unimpressive as you approach, but you kind of look down and you see it very quickly opens up into a very large cavern that is 30, 40, 50 plus feet high in some areas, but seems otherwise fairly unmarked, unadorned, like a normal cave.
Should we take a quick rest here?
I gotta get some of this goop out of my armor, so yes, please.
Yes, that would be a good idea.
So the group of you settle down for a short rest, kind of away from the world, protected from the elements. Clearly, you feel at least hidden enough that you won't be able to be seen, and there's only a couple of ways that you could be seen from out from where you came and deeper into the mountain. I imagine you guys probably set up, you know, you guys are kind of all looking in different directions, settling in, trying to rest what you can, where you can. Who is Dark Vision?
Kaskrin does.
Just Kaskrin?
Just Kaskrin.
Yep.
Oh, Checkers does?
Mango does.
Oh, Mango. I knew somebody over there.
Mango and Junior do. Checkers does not. Kaskrin and Mango are hanging out as we're resting.
Kaskrin, you see that Mango perks up just a little bit and looks deeper into the cave.
What's up, boy? What do you see? And Kaskrin will look in that same direction.
You, Kaskrin, have a hard time making it out, even kind of looking in that direction. But you can see coming down this cavern right in the middle, kind of even though they are out in the open, you still have a hard time picking up where their body ends and the background rock of the cave begin. Such is their camouflage. This creature moves towards you and you realize how much of the passageway they are filling. As you look up and look up and look up, 25 feet up in the air, wearing simple clothes and carrying a large club and large pouch of rocks. With gray skin and a tired, gaunt face. A stone giant looks down at the five of you and says, "The watchful dreamer sees the six who walk the waking world and asks for your goodness." And that is where we'll end this week's episode. Yay!
I hope that makes more sense in giant than it does in common.
Well,
I thought he was going to say, hello there.
Oh. See you next week. Okay, are you guys taking a short rest here?
Yes.
Okay. Let us do, we will do that off screen.
Yeah, we can probably fade into the
end.
Yeah.
One moment. I literally need to look up one thing.
Ambush while taking short rest.
Surprise rules. Wow. Random encounter table. 16 Sturges emerge. That'd be bad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. The Sturges emerges. Yeah. There's a fungus among us.
Yes. Gelatinous cube just falls down from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I welcome that. I, Sophie, welcome that.
Yes. I embrace death.
I remember one of my first D&D encounters was just like a swarm of Sturges. And I was like, this is not fun.
I hate this.
So, I thought we were going through a walk in the woods.